Are you all really excited? Yes. So we had an amazing time of worshiping God. We believe that God will make a way, and even let's continue worshiping Him in hearing what He has kept us for this morning. All right? Yes. So there was a woman coming inside the church. As she was entering the church, she was so surprised because she saw another woman coming, giving a big hug to her, and then she moved on. So the woman wasn't surprised because the other lady who gave the hug usually never speak to her or never even come close to her. She always ignored the other person. But today, as she was entering the church, she sees that the other woman comes and hugs her. So she wasn't a surprise. Like, she was like, I was not there for the last 2 weeks. So what has happened? A lot of things have changed. So she wasn't a surprise. She got her answer at the end of the service when the pastor gave this instruction saying that this is your assignment for the next week as well. That is same as last week. I want you to go out and love someone whom you can't just stand. Yes. So it's not just loving where as easy as hugging a person. We all could have been excelled in love, right? Yes? Agree? Yes. But it's not that easy, or it's not that small thing to do. It's more than that. Not just hug. It's more than that. It requires a continual effort and hard work, because the heart of loving others means putting them ahead of us. You know, loving your neighbor as yourself. So I'm all speaking all these things. The reason is, if you've been not there for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking on the series of love. So we started off with the thing called God's love. What is mean by God's love? How He loved us unconditionally. And we continue to talk about self-love. What does it mean by self-love? Does there something that exists in Bible that's called self-love? No. Exactly. So we learned that there's nothing called self-love. Rather, Bible insists us, or go put it in this way, God wants us to love others as ourselves. So that's been, we've been learning for the last 2 weeks, and we continue on the series about love, how this love can be there inside my family. So we've been talking, we'll be talking today more on this aspect of love, how this going to be there. Is it there in my family? If yes, then how can I improve it? If it is here and there, how can I enhance it? Like, what is God talking about love? What is God expecting in the family for the love to be shown out? Like, okay. So when God created this concept of family, He simultaneously gave us something called extraordinary gift, because family is an amazing gift, right? Like, nobody chooses to be part of the family. Does here anyone say that I want to be a son and daughter of this father and mother? No, right? Because God has given us this extraordinary gift, placing us into the family where we belong. Along with that gift, He also says, gives us an extraordinary challenge as well. It's a difficult challenge thing, right? Because everyone are not the same. Even though we are inside the same homes, living in the same house, living all the time, but we are not all the same personalities, right? Every person in the home has their own responsibilities. But in spite of this challenge, how do we love is what is the thing. The family requires an unshakable commitment to each other. Even when everyone involved is intimately aware of others' flaws. Maybe probably the outside people may not know what is exactly my flaw, but the people inside my home knows exactly who I am, right? Even after knowing who I am, how can I still love the other person? So how can other person loves me is what called as a family love. So when we talk love, 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 definitely we can't skip this verse that is there in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 to 8. Yes, just me.
Love and family. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails.
Yes. So love never fails. So it's not just a poetic description of what love means, or not just a biblical definition of what love means. But if you see in depth, it has a practical roadmap of how and what exactly love means to be. So can we just deeper into this verse and see how exactly that love am I supposed to show in my family? It starts with saying this: love is patient. Love is kind. So that means I have to be patient, and at the same time, I have to be kind enough with one another inside my family. I can't be, you know, quick enough to speak, but rather I have to be patient, saying that it's okay. When something goes wrong or something goes out of control, I have to be still patient, and I have to teach to them in kind words rather than being so, you know, in a frustrated mode. That's what it says. It says next, love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. So there's nothing called pride. You know, many times we knowingly or unknowingly in our families, we say that if I would have not been there in this family would have been not here today. Right? Have you heard this statement saying someone, right? So if I would have not done all these things for you all these years, you would have not stand here. You would have gone away. Nobody would have known you by name. Today you are here because I have done all these X, Y, Z things for you. That comes with a pride sometimes, right? So that's not what exactly the meaning of love is. So love does not dishonor. It says it does not, it's not dishonor others. So it's not to put the other person down, like, isko kuch nahi aata hai. Like for example, most of the time men used to say this statement, like, she can't cook this. Or sometimes wife says that this guy can't even fold his own clothes in front of others, right? Yes, agree? Yeah, it happens a lot of times. So love does not dishonor others. Probably at times we put it as in a funny way, but many times it hurts the other person, right? So where we speak some things, we think it's, I'm just putting it as a funny or like just cracking a joke, but it hurts the other person on the other side a lot deep inside. So, but the love which God talks about or the Bible talks about says that, you know, do not dishonor anyone. And love is not self-seeking. So what does it mean, self-seeking? So everyone in the home loves chicken, but I love fish. So I will say today we'll make fish. No, right? So a lot of things, I'm just packing something practically what is happening, like, you know. So it's not self-seeking. What we will see for the benefit of others, like how my family will get benefited, how my children will get benefited out of it, how my spouse will get benefited out of it, how my husband, how my wife, how my father, how my mother. So everyone in the home, we see that everyone are inclusive rather than, it's not that, you know, self-focused or self-centered, because we learned already that there's nothing such called like we can't love ourselves, but rather we have to love our neighbors and ourselves. So it says also, it's not easily angered. So there is no place at all. Like angry can be there. Like sometimes we get angry, but it's okay. But how do I project my anger, or how do I display my anger to the other person? Not with a full of aggressive words, not going in a high pitch and shouting and yelling, where the other person doesn't get any chance to say what has happened exactly inside. Alright? So in love, there's no place for aggression in our home. So and it says, it does not keep records of wrongs. 10 years back, when I came into your home, this is what your father told at me. 5 years back, when I came into my home, this is how your mother reacted to me. So when we are talking it, after 10 years, after 5 years, after 50 years, you know, a lot of times this happens, right? But what it says, it does not keep record of wrongdoings. So but rather we allow grace and forgiveness to flow. It's okay, the other person did something wrong. Let us forgive the person and keep moving rather than keeping it in our heart and keep on talking about it even after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So many years have passed. Probably the person itself has been passed away. But still we keep talking, saying that, you know, that person has done that to me. Right? So love says it does not keep record of wrongdoings. It rejoices in truth. It rejoices in truth. Sometimes in home, when people speak something out what they did wrong, first thing is like, how can you do wrong? But we forget to appreciate that at least the person has come up front and confronted what he or she has done wrong. Right? So there's no rejoice. We need to rejoice when there is a truth is being happening. And we need to have a transparency that the home has to fill with the truth. So is there a truth? Does the other person knows about where the other person has went? I say I am going to shop, but I went to somewhere else. I say I go to office, but I went to somewhere else. So where there is a truth? Because the other person can't see me, am I hiding or am I lying to the other person? Does my spouse have access to my phone? Does she knows my password? Do I have access to her phone? Right? So love rejoices in truth. Love always protects. It perseveres. It perseveres. It never give up on others. 10 बार बोल दिया, 50 बार बोल दिया, फिर भी तुमने यही गलत किया है. After keep on repeatedly saying, don't do this, even after 50 times I told you, but still you are doing it. I'm not going to tell you anymore. No. Love perseveres. Try to keep loving the person in a way, correct them in a way, put the things in proper ways that the other person understands, and not giving up on the others, but rather take them on board. Because we are still part of a family. I can't leave any person behind and move forward because we are a part of a family. God has united us a part of a family, which means I have to be with this family throughout the journey of my life. So that's the agenda all about God when he initially created a family. He wanted the family to last forever. It's not for a course of a time. No, that's not what God talking about the family is. The family is masterfully designed to provide support to each other, to provide encouragements. Very good. You did a great job. Let's keep doing it. You started a good initiative. Let's continue doing it. Encouragement. Family requires accountability. I'm struggling here or I'm doing this. Can you just help me and keep me monitoring, saying that on all these stages, I just cross my milestones. Let's set milestones. Let's see each other, like where we are able to progress. Are there is a progress or are we still stagnant? Accountable to each other. And moreover, like all upon that, it's a family is a place where love prospers, where there should be love filled. And that's when it's called a place to be so called as home. Home sweet home. Many times we say, right, even sometimes when we go to one of our relatives' home or like any other person's home, but we still say that, I feel like my own home. Right? We say this, right? So when we say that, I feel like my own home, what does it mean? That means a place filled of love, a place that accepts you as who you are and takes care of you, nourishes you and makes sure that you keep progressing in an accountability of yours. So that's where it's called as home to be. That's what Bible is talking about, a family to be loved. God's ultimate plan for the families was not just to reach till your physical needs, not just to provide you food, shelter, you know, clothes. No, it also, his plan was to give you spiritual needs as well. The family is a place where our spiritual, everything grows, where our learnings of scriptures, learning of worshiping God together, everything starts from the home. That's what the agenda or that's what God meant a family to be. There have been a lot of things we can keep on saying, quoting an n number of references from our Bible, which talks about a family, how a family has to be, how a person has, how the relationship has to be, how they have to love God, how they have to worship God, how they have to serve God, how they have to be stewards of God, how they have to be, you know, the person who is in the Christ. Like a lot of things are there. Even in fact, if you see, Christ himself never intended his followers to be identified by the means of how they look, not by the means of how their appearance is or how well-to-do they are. Or like, if I want to put it in this way for today's generation or like today's era, it's not about the stickers that we have in our car saying that, no, Jesus never fails. Jesus is coming soon. My presence shall go with you. My grace is sufficient for thee. Right? We have a lot of things. It's all the things that we are trying to say out, but that's not what exactly God wanted or intended our identity to be. But rather, his identity is,
a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Yes, so that's what he says. You will be known as my disciples when you love one another. So it's like, it's not just an option for us, or it's not just good to do thing, but rather it's the greatest commandment that has been given unto us, which we can't skip or ignore. The DNA of God's family should consist love. Love cannot be taken away from our homes, or love cannot be something that comes on and off, but rather in our DNA itself, God is expecting us to be having that love for him and also for others as well. We must have a love for God and also for each other. That's the exact how the world will come to know we are all part of this so-called God's family or so-called God's children. In the beginning, when God established the family, so that's the first of all the other human relationships, right? Like he formed a family, husband and a wife. God built the entire society from this family. So still, even today, the fundamental unit of the entire society is what? A home. Where there is a home, when the multiple homes come together, they form a street. When multiple streets come together, they form a town. When multiple towns come together, they form a district. When multiple districts come together, they form a state. When the multiple states come together, they form a nation. Multiple nations, then it comes a continent. Multiple continents, it's the entire world that we talk about. So where exactly the fundamental unit is talking, starting from? It's from the home. So that's how God has placed the family to be. When things are set in my home, when things are set in my family, it reflects out, so that the entire nation, when we see, everything will fall in place. So everything will start from where? It's from the home which God has created us. But you know what? So this is a very fundamental unit. But when we know, when we say that this sets right, everything will set right. So that means there is someone else on the opposite side always targeting or trying to collapse this thing, right? So it's been constantly there's a person who is working against this fundamental unit or the family which God has created. So if you see from the beginning, we know that the temptation of Adam and Eve, where he started to, you know, bring them out, and it moved on. The jealousy that filled the brother, Cain, who killed Abel, and Jacob cheating his brother Esau, Joseph being tried to get killed by his own brothers. You see, everywhere there are a lot of stories that the enemy tries to destroy the unit which God has formed, destroy the family that God has created. But in spite of that, we see the works of God's hand, how he has bring them back and put things set right, and he keeps moving on. So that's how he's been constantly working to crush this unit. But God is there also working constantly amongst us, saying that keep loving yourself. Because of that love, your family will stay united. You would be able to grow further. You will be able to see yourself in a progressive way. You will be able to see in a prospering way when the home is filled with love. It's okay, I do love my friends, I do love my parents, I do love my siblings. But the problem is, this love has to be continual. It has to be alive. It has to be keep growing. It requires a constant attention. The love cannot be something that we speak about like, you know, it's not like a one-time investment. Ek bar chhod diya toh fir like after 15 years we will see the reap the benefits. No, rather it's something like an SIP. Every month I need to invest. Every week I need to invest. Every day I need to invest in love in my family members. So that is when it grows, it multiplies, it passes on to generation to generation. Unless and until it is not there in our DNA, unless and until we don't have that in our daily routine, it may not become visible over a period of time, and the love becomes mute. And there will be a family where there is no love at all. Each of us should be redoubling our efforts to ensure that families are all what they should be. I have to keep a constant check on my home and my family members and everyone, that do I still love them, or is there love exist in my family? I have to see to all the aspects. Husbands and wife, they have a God-given obligation that to create a home that allows their children to become all they have been designed by God, what they have to be. You know, husband and wife, we are given this responsibility. So we constantly love our children and see to it that they grow in a way how God wanted them to be. Not on our own purpose, not on our own motto, but rather I have to see how am I making my children, bringing up my children in a way that God expected them to be. And also, it's along with as a parent it happens. And also, husband and wife, personal relationship, not just as a parent I do a role for my children, but also amongst husband and wife, there should be this love one another and to submit one another for the glory of God. So that's what it talks about. Since the family is supposed to live together in unity and oneness. So that's what it is. To be in unity, to be in oneness, there has to be love. The love must present at all the times. Not as an occasional base. Not as once in a while. Not at the season of celebration. No. But in every moment of our life, every time in our home, it has to be there. Where there is no love, there can be still a family. But if there is a family where there is no love, it cannot be successful. it cannot be a progressing. It cannot be a profiting family. We see that the family slowly starts to decay. The family starts to destroy. The family starts to, you know, compress. And over a period of time, the family is no more. Because when there is no love, then everything starts falling down. As we said, home is a foundation place for us to learn love as well. So it all starts from the home only. So here, parents help children, showcasing how the love is, so that they learn the love and they move on further to love the others when they move on or when they grow on to a next levels. Showing love for our own parents, like as a parent, it's my responsibility to show love for my own parents so that my children will learn what exactly love means and what exactly the responsibility of taking care or, you know, like handling as a family, everything together. So this is a small story which I came across, like, you know, there was a small family, father, mother, son, and the mother of the father. So grandmother was there with them. So as the days go, it's a small unit, they've been loving and enjoying the days. But one fine time, like as a grandmom got older, she fell ill, and over a period of time, she became bedridden. So the time spent with her was very less, and she was always inside one room. So they used to go and give her food and come out. So there was no communication, there was no talk, there was no conversation with the grandmom. And one day she passed away. So the funeral is going on. So as the other relatives, everyone has come and the funeral was going on. So they decided, like you know, there's a custom that they also clear off all their belongings as well, right? Like if you know. So when they've been clearing off her belongings, whatever was worth with her, they've been searching for this one thing called the plate, which they used to give food to her. They searched for the plate, which was specially made, which can't be available anywhere, like, you know, the broken, ugly plate. They couldn't find anywhere in the house. So the father was searching everywhere. Then the son came and then asked, like, what are you searching for? I'm looking for your grandmom's plate. He said, like, oh, why are you searching for that? No, we need to clear off. I kept it safely in my cupboard because probably I might need when you became old. Did any time dad told the son that later when I grow old, this is a plate you should serve food to me? Never. So it's a culture. So, right? So what do I teach my child? So that's where it all starts. When there is love, the things get learned. Like even whatever we do, the children learns. We may not know that they are learning or grasping things. Sometimes we've been very curious at the words that they speak from where you learned all these things. But if you see back in weeks, we only had spoken all those words inside home. Or they would have even learned from outside. So do we have a check what they are learning? So this is one quote that referred by David Willis from the 1 Corinthians verse which we read. Love is an unconditional commitment to selflessly serve, truthfully communicate, fearlessly protect, gracefully forgive, compassionately heal, and enduringly remain in relationship with and for the sake of another. So it needs a continual relationship. The love, when we say, it exists in the relationship. Let's make a conscious decision to love other using the God's definition of love, which we have seen here, like, you know, like what exactly God spoke about love. So always allow our family to be led by love, and so that we always be headed in the right direction. When we sure that we have been led as a family by love, we are sure that we are heading in the right direction. So for that, when we say we love, but it also speaks about God, our family as well. So we need to, as a person in a family, it's every individual's responsibility that I see to it that my family is secure or protected from all the things. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That's been we've been talking all these days, right? Like, so how do I guard, or from what all things I can guard? First of all, we need to guard our family against the temptations that destroys our family. There will be a lot of temptations that comes into picture. Like, for example, as I said, right? You know, when everyone wants to have chicken because I love to eat fish, I say like, let's eat fish today. So that's my craving or my temptation to eat fish. But one a day, it's okay. But probably over a period of time, it becomes a culture. I impose only things what I expect or what I want it to be. So what happens? This temptation of mine has come to a point where my family is getting destroyed. Against to the temptations of love ourselves, that's again the same point. Like, you know, when there is a self-love, when there are things are focused, self-centered, it becomes very difficult for a family to be together as a unit, how God has wanted us. Because selfish love robs the family's peace away. It takes away the family's peace. There would be always chaos. When in a family, the member are looking out only for themselves, then nobody wins. There would be arguments, but I'm talking only about what I'm right. So nobody wins. And nobody is win. Nobody is encouraged. No one is edified. No one else is loved. The family begins to destroy itself from within, inside. It starts to get decayed when we focus on things like loving ourselves or, you know, allowing the family to go on to the temptations what, you know, we've been attracted to. So many times, you know, there will be things like, you know, ungrateful, unworthy family members as well being part of our families. For example, even after doing all these sacrifices, even after taking them into consideration, you do all the things for them, but still they will keep doing what they've been doing all these days. But we need to be loving them as well. Sometimes what happens is that because of our busy schedules, because we keep ourselves engaged with a lot of things, we tend to forget or we tend to focus on what is exactly happening in my unit. What is exactly happening inside my family? What is there in their mind? I never even spoke to them. What is the last time we sat together as a family, everyone, and spoke things? What is the last time where we had a meal together as a family? We need to make time for each other. Unless and until there is no time for each other, the love that I have would be hidden inside myself and I can't even say that it is a love because it's not been expressed at all. There needs to be time when we just have time together, not do anything. There's no agenda. It's okay. It's not that we come here by 9 o'clock, we do this by 9:30, we do by 10, we wind up by 11, we clean the house by 12, we go to bed by 1 o'clock. No, not that. Like, not there to have an agenda every time. Take a time out from our busy schedule, sit together, just have a conversation with our family members, which itself will build the love, which will help us to exercise, which will help us to show more love towards the other person. Just to enjoy each other's company, that's it. There's no agenda. Just to enjoy each other's company. We must guard the marriage covenant, the most important thing of the family. When the marriage fails, it hurts the whole family. No matter who is responsible for the breaking. But when it breaks, it hurts the whole family. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25 talks about
wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, the body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Yes. So, you know, like, it talks about the, especially the relationship of wife and husband. We have been speaking about it last Friday, Selmade as well, right? Even. So how, as a husband and a wife, how do I submit to each other? How do we love each other? So sometimes what happens is, like, in a simple friendship between a man and woman, transform into something when things left unnoticed. We have to be very careful. And it goes in both the ways, both for the husband and for the wife. For that's the reason we say that please be careful when we have a friendship with an opposite gender. Wives should not be spending time with men other than her husband, father, or brother unless one or more people are present. The same thing goes to men as well. Men, not to talk to women, do not travel with a woman alone in a car, not spending time with another woman other than your wife when no one else is there around. Hey, what are you talking, man? What kind of an era we are? How can this applicable now? sound old fashioned? Maybe, yes. But is it still safe? Absolutely. Right? So why do I have to get into a place where I know there's a high chance for me to fall for? Right? So better stay away from things which I know, maybe not today, probably sometime down the line. I might say like, no, I'm so confident, I'm so clear, I'm so very clear with the agenda, what is the thing happening in my mind, I know things clear. But knowingly or unknowingly, there is a high chance for us to fall. So why to take a step of risk? Right? So when we know things are going in a risky fashion, we tend to avoid doing it, right? So that's the reason we've been talking about this. Do not put yourself in the situation where you might get compromised. When we spend time with our family members, we come to know what is exactly happening. All these things start somewhere at the back of the mind, like, you know, when there was no communication, when there is no love happening inside the family, when there is no, you know, real connect between each others. So that's where it all starts, and it goes to an extent where we can't do things, we can't do undo. We can't revert back. It's a way long we have left. Right? So let's guard our family before it is too late. Also, it says, defend the family.
They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built.
Yes. So how could I guard my family? How could I defend my family? This is the one of the classic thing that we can do. Build a home on the rock, that is Christ. Lay a foundation on him. Set things right in the home. That will help us to defend this constant battle that is always trying from different angles. When our families are built on this solid rock, no matter whatever the attacks are, whatever the storms the enemy may bring in, it will not shake us, nor our foundation. There may be a temporary damages, happens here and there, but God will help us to get that restored when our foundation is on him. Because we are very sure, there is no doubt, still there is an enemy who is constantly trying to destroy this unit, what God has formed, God has ordained. So build our family on the solid faith, trust, and love of God above anything else. This is the only thing that can set family stay strong. Unless and until my foundation is not on God, unless and until my family is not set right things on what God is telling me to do, it's very difficult for me to handle. It's not possible by humanly effort, but it becomes possible only when our foundation is on him. As we continue, this love also has something about parenting.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yes. So it's a sole responsibility of us as being a parent. It's our sole responsibility to train up a child in a way how he has to go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. So it's my responsibility to take care of my child, because I'm being a steward. God given responsibility to me is that I teach the child and direct the child in a way how God wanted the child to be. So I need to educate my child. So we need to educate our child in a way. So the idea is that the whole education of the child, it's not just, you know, putting them into the school, or it's not just putting them into the best college so that they get the best job, but the whole idea is giving them the whole education that is, like, you know, refers to the daily discipline of verbal instructions in a ways of the life and ways of the Lord. So there should be a daily verbal instructions happening that is educating our child as they grow. I can't teach my child about savings when they start the earning. Right? So it's too late. But rather, if I tell them when they're small, when they have a pocket money, when we give them something, you start saving. And when they grow, when they earn, they have this habit cultivated inside them, which will allow them to start saving. Right? So everything comes in a phased manner. So I can't say that I'll teach him when he gets married, I will talk to him about certain things. No, there's a certain age when I have to talk to him, when I have to teach the person, right? Like the child. Every stage, what needs to be said. I need to educate my child in a daily ways. So that way, I take care of them. I need to take care of them until they are under our care. When they leave the nest and move into their own world, it becomes difficult for them if we have not taught them. They have to struggle with their own hands and legs, try to do things. Which works, which doesn't work, which happens when, what happens when. It becomes very difficult, right? So better we educate our children in the right age of the right things so that they are aware. And when they start their life, when they move out of our nest, we see to it that they are in a safer place. They have things what they wanted to have. We also need to encourage our children. When they take the small steps, do we really encourage them? We have taught them, we are educating them. But when we see things happening, probably it may not be 100% perfect. Maybe 10%, 5%. But they have taken a step of initiative. So I need to encourage them. So there are times when we teach them. There are times when we direct them. There are times when we discipline them. But also we need to see that there are times in their lives where we encourage them. So that they take it forward. Otherwise, what will happen is that you've been taught them all the things, and when they start doing it, they're not 100% perfect. Yes, I agree. But if I do not encourage them, they would say, how much ever I do, my parents will not be happy with me. So better not to do things. They get discouraged. They get demotivated. They take a step back rather than keep moving forward what God expected them to be. So it's our responsibility not just to educate and leave them, but we also need to encourage them. It's okay, keep moving, keep doing, keep doing, keep going. Next time you will do better. Next time it will get completed. You keep doing, you keep going. So do I really encourage my child? Do we really encourage our spouse? It's not just to child, it's also to our spouse as well. Like when they try something, it didn't work out. Do I really encourage them? Do I really support them? Do I stand with them? With our family, what is that our stand this morning? And also, most important thing, evangelize them. All of this education, encouraging, everything is to build and train them in the word of God. Make sure, keep a note of it. It is not of our opinions. It's not our preferences or not of our prejudices. Because we are just stewards. Right? We are there who has to take care of them. We are just to support and direct them in the direction where they have to go. When we teach our children in a way how we wanted to be, then definitely they will also be in the mess up life where we had been. Right? So if I tell them what I did, what I wanted them to be, definitely they will also be going into the same direction where I went through. But if I put them in a direction where God wants them to be, then they will be leading in a way, they will be director, or they will be taken in a path where they will see the progress. So better we train them in the things of the Lord so that they will grow up and live the life that will glorify and also honor the Lord.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Yes. So again, we talk a lot about parents, we talk about husband, we talk about wife. There is also a role of the children as well, right? So Bible is also teaching and telling to us as a child, what is my response to be? Children are told to obey their parents. The word means to submit, to comply with, or to follow the directions and the instructions that is being given unto them. So this means that a child will always listen to the voice or the person who is in authority and do things as what is being taught to them. So when they respond to what has been taught to them, they will see that they grow in a perfect submission. They are supposed to do as what they are told, right? So this will help them. In a family, when I teach them to obey, when we start obeying things, we see that the child also responds in the school when the teacher says something. In the community, when they go to the college, we see that an act of obedience. When they go to the job, we see that there is an act of being submissive to the boss, being submissive to the laws and the governments and all the things. So where it all starts from this fundamental unit that's called to love and to obey. So when we teach our children to obey, as a children, when we start obeying things what is being told to us, so it's like very easy for us to grow in our life in the direction how God wants us to be. Ultimately, they are learning to walk in the ways of obedience. So when we tell them to obey and do things, they learn things and they obey it. But what if the commands of the parents contradict to what the teaching of Bible is? We tell them not to lie. Probably, I don't think that happens in Mumbai anyway, but still I'll tell you, like down south or like in villages it happens. When someone comes and tries to meet you, they tell the child, go and tell them the dad is not in home. Right? So we are teaching them not to lie. But what we are telling them? To lie. So our lining of what we are teaching and what we are talking, is it in aligned with what the principles of Bible is? If it is not in aligned with what the word of God is, it's the decision that the child or anyone has to take, that put the Lord in first. So, you know, anyone who is in authority, no parents, no spouse, or anyone who has the authority figure is not having a rights to command us to do things which is something illegal, which is something immoral, or which is contradicting to what the word of God says is. So we are always supposed to place God and His word and His teaching in front rather than whatever the contrary things are happening in the round side of us. So we should also know what the thing children are being taught. Like, you know, as a parent, again, we need to see like what the children are being taught, what they are learning and all the things. Like there was a one incident I remember suddenly, like when someone went to pay the school fee, there was a parent who was in front of them, and then the person on the counter was asking like, which standard is your kid? One second. He called his wife and then he said like, which standard is the kid? He said, she said, on the other side, she said like, third standard. And then, third standard. He checked. No, third standard, there's no by name by your kid. By the time he gets a call back from wife, "Arey, I was talking about my cousin sister. Our kid is in the fourth standard." So many times, it happens in a fashion that we don't see to it what is being taught or what is currently happening in the life of our children. What they are being learned in the school. What is the last time we sat with our children and asked them, what did you learn today? What all did you watch today? The digital era, we give them the access to the gadgets, right? So do we have control over it? What is the limitation we have set to them? Is it like 24/7 you can watch anything, anytime, anywhere? Or do we have set a timelines? Or do we have set a restrictions? You can watch only this kind of a things, not to this, not to this, and only yes to this. So do we have the limitations? Do we have set the boundaries inside our home? Or do we even aware of what exactly is happening in their lives? So it says that, you know, when they get influenced all these things, it's very easy and attractive because the things that is not being said right are very attractive. So that's where easily we go get attracted to. When they get attracted to those things, they get implemented with the ideologies that are against to the teachings of the Bible. The ideologies that are designed to tear down the families. I don't need anyone. I stay on my own. I'm not dependent on anyone. I'm independent. I don't need any care. I will take care of myself. You know, a lot of things happens because of the ideologies or the thoughts that they learn from the outside because we leave them unnoticed. Have open lines of communication in the family. Let family be the place where the person can confidently speak what is there in the mind. Do we have space in our family? Do we have space inside our home for the person to speak out what is there in the mind? Without any thought of being judgmental. Does the other person has the ability, has the chance, or has the capacity to speak out what is there in the mind? It could be anyone. It could be spouse. It could be a parent. It could be our children. Anyone, any relative, any relationship that exists inside the home. Do they have? Do we have the platform to communicate with each other? Families that communicate openly and honestly with each other are told to be stronger. The bonds between those members are very much stronger. And the roots of the family are told that they are deeper, helping them to withstand the winds and the storms of the world from the outside. What is it in my home? Do I have the platform Or did I set the platform in my home if I'm being the responsible person? Did I set the platform right inside my home where they have the chance to speak out? There is a story of a man being outside in a warm summer night, sitting down the road, and he was just looking up the moon, the star, and all the brightest lights that were there. He was so amazed with the view, and he lost himself as he was just sitting and enjoying the view. All of a sudden, everything that he could see started disappearing because of a new attraction of a light that came in front of him. It was nothing but a lightning bug. A lightning bug that came right in front of his eyes. So at this point, he was able to see only this lightning bug. Everything else faded away. So that's when he realized that any kind of a light, any kind of a things, influences from outside, competing for the attention of my kid. But if he wanted to be the biggest influence of his kid's life, he doesn't have to be the biggest nor the brightest. But he has to be the one which is closest. It's the same for all of us even today. We don't have to be very bright. We don't have to be very big superstar to teach our kids. But we have to be close. We have to be available for them. Am I available for my family? This is what Howard Hankins, a great preacher, he says this. You can impress people from a distance, but you can only impact up when you are close. So how am I today? Am I being close to my family, or am I being impressing them from a long distance? There will be a lot of impressive looks that tries to influence on our kids, but we can make the biggest impact simply by staying close to our sons and daughters. Make a quality time with them, with a priority. Refuse to let outside influences pull them into a directions where they wanted to be, but rather see to it that I give them the platform what they wanted to speak of, or I give them the chance for them to reveal what is there in their mind. Give them the solid foundation of faith and love, and know that even though we are all imperfect parents, sometimes we try to hide our imperfections. But it's okay. Let them know our imperfections, but make them know for sure that we all have a perfect heavenly Father who is by our side all through the times. He is the one who gives us the strength to take us forward, this unit, so-called family, forward. So this is a time for us to evaluate the love in our family. The family that comes, that God given unto us, comes within as a built-in support system, that how it has to allow it to be. The family, it's a blessing from God. The family is a time-honored institute, as we said. We need to support each other. We need to protect each other. And most importantly, love each other. Are our families perfect? Absolutely not, or may not be. But do we have room to grow in our family? Definitely we need that room. If we have that room for the love of the family, we must do whatever we can to ensure that the love in my family grows, so that, you know, I move forward and see to it that my children and my spouse and everyone in my family has the opportunity, and there's a love exists inside my family. So we have these few questions that are coming up in front of us. Do I really listen to each family member? To be truly listened is to be feel loved. Do I listen to my friends, neighbors, co-workers more readily than to my most important unit called family? Do the concerns of my family receives more attention, or is it the concerns of others from outside receives my attention? Do I make time to listen to the members of my family regularly? Do I spend time with each family member? Developing love, harmony, peace inside a family is not an instant thing. It takes time. It builds, it grows over a period of time. Do I spend that quality and the quantity amount of time with each family members? Do I help each family members that they feel that they are also needed and they are also part of the family? Or do I leave them behind? Or do I keep them unnoticed? To feel useful and be appreciated is a basic human need. We can help our family members fulfill their need just by giving them the opportunities to listen to them and appreciate their help that they have done. Do I have the pure love of Christ as described in 1 Corinthians where we have started with today? For the love of our families, we must protect them, cherish them, and love them with all that we have. We must stand against the powers of the world that are working to destroy our families. We can do that only when we build on this rock called Jesus. It's only through Him it's possible. No matter whatever may come, whatever may pass, whatever happen, but still love our family and keep building on this rock, Christ. Only through Him and in Him we can find this love that can keep us grow and be successful. This morning, maybe we need that. I need a love more in my family. I need to love my family more. To give up the burdens of sin, let us surrender our lives to Him. Today is the day to start if we feel that there is still something missing. Maybe you need a prayer for your family. Today is the day to confess your brokenness with the family of God together. To entrust that the family of God with all your pains and allow us to carry your burden alongside. No matter what the need, the church family is always with you to support, to encourage, and strengthen your family. Take a step of faith and allow God to make in your life. Let's take a step of faith. Let's close our eyes, reflect on these things, and see to it where do we stand exactly, and what is the next step that we want to be taken with the help of God.